Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In those days. That's how our season of Advent begins this year. In those days. In those days. We all have days like those days that Jesus is describing here. We all have days. Days that mark the reality of our life. Days that happen in one sort of way or another. Days that mark sort of the various points that we go through in our lives. See, the thing is that Advent isn't just about the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas. Advent can happen any time in our lives. In those days, Jesus says. And what does he say happened in those days? Well, he says, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. That's what he says those days look like. Now, Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's just been in the temple with them. They're admiring the temple. The disciples are amazed at this beautiful, beautiful building. The temple was the center of their life. The stones in the temple were massive. And there was beautiful gold laid over the top of the temple, so much so that when the sun would shine and you'd get the reflection off the temple, you'd be nearly blinded with the brilliance of this temple. The temple, for them, meant everything. It was the center of their life, the center of their community. It was a sign that God was with them, that God was blessing them. It was everything. And they're admiring the building. And Jesus says, the temple of your lives is about to come down. It's about to crumble. It's about to fall into an ash heap. That's what's going to happen in those days. It's all going to crumble and come to the ground. You ever experienced that in your life? Change. A change where the very things that you counted on most, the very thing that sort of stood at the center of your life, that you could count on, that gave your life meaning and direction, went away, crumbled to the ground. Well, then you know what those days are all about. You know what those days are like. Sometime or another in your life, you are going to enter into the darkness of change. And change brings with it loss. Because with every change, you lose something. It might be the loss of a relationship. It might be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job or the loss of a home or the loss of something that made you comfortable and made you feel secure and safe. At some point or another in your life, that goes away and you enter into a time of change, a time of loss. A time that can feel very dark for you. Times like that, I think it's good for us to ask a few questions. We have to ask a few questions. One of the questions is, how will we proceed now that those usual lights that used to illuminate our world are no longer giving light? How will we proceed? What do you do when the world seems like it's falling apart? Right? The world, I mean, stars falling, the sun, moon not giving. What happens when the world seems like it's starting to fall apart? And where do you go when now you're finding yourself amidst the darkness and it doesn't even seem like God is present anymore? How do you go forward? Where do you go? What are you going to do now? Well, the dark times in our lives are sort of threshold moments. And any time you go over a threshold, you're going into a new reality. Problem is that a lot of us get to that threshold, and there's a situation in our life that has brought us darkness. And what do we want to do? We want to fix it, right? We want to go back to having some kind of equilibrium in our lives. We want to go back out of the threshold, back to the comfortable, back to the things that we could count on. Or, if we can't do that, we want to numb ourselves, right? We want to somehow make it feel better. We want to ease the pain. We want to get back what we used to have. Put things back the way they used to be. problem is that the God of Advent doesn't allow that. He doesn't allow that. See, we can never go back to the way things were before the lights went out. That's the thing. We can't go back. The God of Advent doesn't allow that. The reason is that God is not willing to undo your life for you. He's not willing to undo your life. God does something better. He redeems your life. He redeems. See, the hope and the coming of the Son of Man is really what is at stake here. The presence of Christ is the ultimate answer to our prayer, to every light-extinguishing event that we experience, to every advent of our life. Christ's presence in the midst of that is the answer. See, every time we go through a time of advent in our lives, we want to cry out along with Isaiah those wonderful and familiar words, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." How many times have you wanted to pray that, right? You've gone through something and, "God, just come, tear the heavens, come, be with me." Paul gives us some consolation today. In our reading from Corinthians, he reminds us that God is faithful, that God strengthens us to the end. In the midst of our losses, Paul says, we lack nothing as we await the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We lack nothing because God is faithful. God will strengthen us. See, at times of Advent, these are really times for us of waiting, right? They're waiting. Life isn't like it was before, but we're not yet to where it's going to be. We're not really here, but we're not really there either. We're sort of betwixt and between. And that can be a really hard place for people to be in this sort of time of transition. But that's what these seasons of Advent represent for us, a time of transition. But if we allow them to, we can allow these times of transition in our lives to be times where we draw deeper into the divine mystery of God. Because it's at times just like that that we're reminded that we don't know everything, and that things are beyond our power and ability to control, that not everything is controlled by us, that we don't see all the possibilities, that we're not, finally in the end, in charge of our lives. Advent challenges us to give up our usual sources of illumination and begin to trust and begin to surrender and begin to give our lives over to one who holds our lives in his hand. You see, Advent invites us to receive the God who comes to us in the darkness of life. You know, at some point, your world will fall apart. At some point, life will change. At some point, you're going to feel like the lights have gone out. More often than not, when we experience that, we experience that as a dead end. We feel as though we're up against the end, don't we? What would Jesus say at that situation? He would say, take a lesson from the fig tree. Take a lesson from the fig tree. Now, look at a fig tree. And he says, you're going to notice that when those little buds start to grow on the branches of the fig tree and the leaves start to come out, you can start to expect that what? Summer's coming, right? It happens every year. You get the buds, you get the leaves, summer's coming. It's automatic. He says in the same way, when these things start to happen, what things? Darkness. Sun blotted out, moon no longer there, stars falling from the sky. When it seems like the world is unraveling and you're in the middle of darkness, the temple is starting to smash down. The things that stood at the center of your life, that gave you meaning, are crumbled to the ground. When these things start to happen, just like the fig tree, know that something's coming. And what's coming? I'm coming, he says. I'm coming. As automatically as the leaves tell you summer's coming, darkness tells you that the Son of Man is coming. I'm coming into the very midst of your darkness. That's where I come. That's where I show up. You see, Christ's presence, our healing, our salvation, it comes to us in the darkest and messiest times of our lives. That's where it comes. People think they can look for God on a mountaintop. When things are going great, they're on the golf course and they've hit a great shot. Praise God, they've got a touchdown. Woohoo, praise God. That's where you find God? That's not biblical. No, you find God in the mess, in the darkness, and in the dirt of life. That's where he shows up. You see that guy wounded on the football field who didn't make the tackle, is lying there in shame and wounded? I think God is maybe more in that than the guy yelling in the end zone. That's where God is, in the darkness and in the despair. We have to train ourselves as people so that we can begin to see where God is in this world. And so what does Jesus say to us? He says what? He says, be alert. Be awake. Why? Because he realizes that darkness is not half as big of an enemy as is sleeping. Falling asleep here, Jesus says, is the enemy, not the darkness. But he knows that darkness can lead us to a place of wanting to sleep. Because darkness makes us begin to believe in despair rather than hope. Darkness begins to make us think that somehow, rather than being filled with gratitude, that we were entitled to what we have, so we can begin to fall asleep. Darkness can begin to make us choose what's comfortable rather than what's life-giving. And comfortable things can make us fall asleep rather than choosing those things that actually give us life. Falling asleep happens when we begin to think that somehow we were abandoned by God because bad things are happening to us. That's when our eyelids can get heavy. That's when we can begin to kind of fall asleep. We can begin to fall asleep when we think that all the things that are going on out there is the only reality that makes up our lives. See, whenever you think life is over or that somehow you've been abandoned, you begin to fall asleep. Too often we allow the darkness to deceive us into thinking that there's nothing worth waiting for. There's nothing worth staying awake for. So we close our eyes. We fall asleep, and we fall into the despair that leads us into further darkness. We refuse to see the one who's always coming after us. Now, the danger in the darkness is that you don't wait long enough in the darkness to let your eyes adjust. How many of you have ever walked from a very light space, a light room, into utter darkness, and you've not been able to see a thing? That's a bit disconcerting, isn't it? But have you stayed in that dark space long enough that your eyes begin to adjust? Jesus is saying, wait, stay alert long enough that in the darkness, your eyes begin to adjust. You begin to get your night vision. And the night vision happens because there is some source of light, isn't there? Some light there that's able to allow us to see something. Well, Jesus would say it's not in the outer things that you're going to find even that trace of light. That light is coming from within. That's the light that he has put within you. The light of faith, the light of his presence in your heart. It's the light of the Holy Spirit in your heart that allows you to see, if you wait patiently long enough in the darkness, you might have your night vision and to see that, yes, Jesus is there in his glory and in his power. That's where he is. Now, the advents of our life ask us to trust the coming one. And as we trust the coming one, the disciplines of Advent become very clear. During Advent, what we must do is we must learn to sit. We must learn to listen. We must learn to watch. And we must learn to wait. And these things are contrary to what our society would have us do, right? Our society would have us get involved, get active, do something. But Advent calls us, no. In the midst of darkness, there are things you need to do. But what you really need to do is just show up. Show up. Don't be drowsy. Don't be despairing in the midst of the darkness. Show up with faith. Because when you show up, you're going to start to see God at work. When we don't show up, when we run away from the darkness, you know what we're really running away from? Is God. You're running away from God. Because God is there in darkness and just wants you to show up and be fully present. You know, it's interesting, during Advent, anytime we enter into a time of darkness, we walk a little bit more slowly. We're a little bit more cautious. We listen, because we don't always have our eyes, and so we have to use our other senses. So we learn to listen, which means we don't talk as much. And in the darkness, we learn the discipline of holding the questions more than holding the answers. We show up expectantly, but not necessarily expecting certain things. We don't come with certain expectations or certain outcomes. We simply come expecting that one is there who's going to do something redemptive with even the darkest of dark. That's how we show up. And when we do that, waiting for us becomes a prayer. Prayer is with us in the midst of that. Prayer is answered as we experience God's presence. So I want you during Advent to do a couple of things. I want you to find someone that you could share your Advent story with. Somebody who will listen to your Advent story. Your time of darkness. Your time of longing. Your time of change. Your time of loss. We've all got them, don't we? And then I want you to also learn to sit and wait and listen and long and expect. Pray. Why? Because Isaiah 64 says it so well in verse 4. Isaiah tells us that God works for those who wait for Him. God works for those who wait for Him. Will you wait for Him? Will you watch for Him? Will you be awake for Him? Even when the sun doesn't shine anymore? May we do so this Advent season. Amen.